Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway. Oh, wow.
Simply the best.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
So good to have your company on this Saturday afternoon as we head towards kickoff, 3 o'clock. It is the Sharks and the Titans playing at Kogarah. And what a great pleasure, as always, at this time to welcome Peter Sterling to the microphone. G'day, Pete.
Hello, Tony, Em, and listeners. I was sort of not sure about coming in today because I just, you're kind of bearable most weeks. Mm. I was hoping that wasn't just going to the unbearable stage after last night's result. But congratulations, and I thought the better side won. Well, Parramatta particularly disappointing, especially in that first half. To go in at the break down after the amount of football they had and field position they enjoyed was a sign of maybe not getting the right result. And yeah, your boys finally got it done.
Well, to make matters worse, Tony decided to, in our Believe It or Not segment, at the last minute he threw in a Parramatta Pretenders. And that was Tony's idea. So he's just taken it to another level. I mean,
it's a question.
Well, it's a continuation, isn't it? He's never had any good ideas like up to this stage. I don't see today M should be any different.
Yeah, my last idea was not to buy property in Sydney in the 70s, and that didn't work for me.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. Well done at Rose Bay there too. There were some nice little cheap plots as well.
There was. There were the Dragons, and people talk about the Paul McGregor. That was the story out of yesterday. I don't know whether that was the story for the players going in or that was the reason they performed that they did. It's such a weird thing to see. He was there on the sideline. He had a big grin on his face. He was enjoying every moment. There was some lovely emotion at the end of the game. Certainly Cam McGuinness, who's the club captain, and Paul McGregor means plenty to him. Other players also getting involved. Those kinds of things, it is a difficult one for, you were saying, for Paul McGregor. He's sitting on the sideline. If they lose, what does that mean? If they win, what does it mean? He walks away happy, but we don't know why.
Yeah, I made the point before the game last night. I wasn't quite sure of the upside. If they go out and played a sparkling game and won the game, then, the coach says, well, fellas, where's that been all year? And if they lose, it just adds to a really shit week for him.
Yep.
But in the end, there was upside. Yeah, everybody was happy. He was happy type thing. But, the realisation when he wakes up this morning, he won't be going to the warm down session and preparing them for next week. It's an unusual one, I suppose, because when you look at Paul Green, the way that he exited the North Queensland Cowboys, I think by memory, the decision was made and kept in-house.
Yeah.
And then the players went out and played. And then the declaration that he was leaving, that there was that option available in this instance, but they decided to make the news that Paul was being stood down but he was going to do one more game. And I guess, it worked out well. I think last night was more of a sign that the Dragons have been close. It was 10 all last week at halftime, and they've been in that situation midway through a game a number of times in the last few weeks where they actually just, they dug in and dug in better last night. And I thought Parramatta, their form hasn't been great for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Exactly. And they've fallen over the line. They've got the job done in situations where, they didn't play great. But so for you and for, Supercoach Brad Arthur, where do you go? You still confident about what can happen at the back end of this year for the Eels?
Well, we're about to find out, I think, and we've got some really tough games coming up. It begins with Melbourne this weekend. The problem with losing last night was that it would have established a 6-point gap to the Roosters and possibly the Raiders if they win. Now, that's 4. Yep. And all of a sudden, you're starting to look over your shoulder a little bit after having been so well established. I'm of the belief, again, and even if, one of those top sides do miss out on the top 4, you've got to be in the top 4 to win the competition. It's no fluke every year that we see that. So that is huge. And I guess that's the real question mark for the Roosters now as to how they handle this period of being down on troops. Mm. They're in jeopardy. As I say, if the Raiders win this weekend, they're alongside them. And it's going to be tough for them possibly to make that top 4. But for Parramatta, you want to avoid looking over your shoulder. They'll play finals football. That's fantastic. That's your first objective when you start come out of a pre-season and start a new season, that you want to be in the top eight. Parramatta have achieved that. I've got no doubt that they'll play finals football. I think they're on 22 points, yep. And I think that will be enough. But now the top four is, you know, that's the desired position. And it looks like being a battle royal where maybe I thought the Eels wouldn't be a part of that, but they may well be.
We spoke about the Roosters too, and Tony got his paper and he scrunched it up, and that was his way of saying the Roosters. He's put a line through them and too. The three-peat. But, given that they've got, I think, $4.5 million worth of talent on the sideline, do you think they can still go back to back to back?
Yeah, and I was saying earlier, Tony's never had a lot of good ideas. And he just wants to keep reinforcing that. That's an individual choice. Mm-hmm. I can't write the Roosters off because...
You're a professional.
They have great depth.
Or he knows what he's talking about, maybe.
That was what I was trying to think of.
They're well coached. They've got depth there. Obviously, if they lost to Luke Keary, then that would be absolutely huge. It's a little bit, and I don't want to put the mock on them, but if Penrith lost a Nathan Cleary, yeah, that has a dramatic impact. They've got good depth. Bat Burton would probably come in and play alongside Jerome Luai, and they would get a job done. Would it be as good a job as could be done? And that's the question for the Roosters. But to have a number of their players in key positions possibly out, then that. It makes it much more difficult for them, but their quality.
Yet the Storm goes in without Cameron Smith and Cameron Munster, and they looked like the Storm.
I think we kind of forget. I think last year they won the minor premiership by maybe 6 points. And
they've been one or two for the last 5 years.
Yeah. It comes down to, the coaching and the quality of the squad, and that basically whoever's missing – somehow they seamlessly just pick up on that and just continue on. And again, if Melbourne have both Camerons there at the end of the year, then their stocks go through the roof. If one or both of them are missing, that would be a concern for them. But, Brandon Smith was pretty much their best player the other night without Cameron Smith there. And he didn't get many raps, but Riley Jacks was excellent as well. Yeah. So, they have a system where it works if people aren't there. It's all about the machine, not so much the cogs, but you just want your most important cogs to be there when it counts.
I started the show today saying that I thought Brent Naden was the hero of the weekend because of the courage in calling out that despicable behaviour on the sidelines last night. I just note that Andrew Abdo there's some audio of him speaking on that today. Let's have a listen.
What happened last night, if the allegations are proven to have been of a racial nature or vilification nature or of a bullying nature, we'll take the strongest possible action the game can take against those individuals involved. Things like this don't happen that often, but they should never happen. And when they do happen, we have to act decisively. I'd like to commend the actions of Brett Naden, who in this particular case was brave. We had fans in the stadium cooperating, providing some witness accounts of what occurred, and the stadium authorities and the police were quick to evict the individuals alleged to have made these abusive remarks. We will conclude the investigation and we'll take whatever action we deem necessary to make sure that those fans who are proven to have acted in this way are not able to attend our games going forward.
It's a shame that out of that game this is a talking point, and clearly on the back of things that have happened in world affairs, but also on the back of our Indigenous round, that this is a conversation piece. And, when he said what the game can do, I guess the game can only bar these individuals if they're found to be guilty from coming to any more NRL games. I don't know if that's going to help them in regards to an education. And, I read in the paper, and I this is alleged, that they went to the Lees Club, caused a problem there, got kicked out, and then caused a problem at the railway station. So, I don't suppose the NRL banning them from going to games in the future, it might not have the desired effect, but we'll do what we can do to safeguard our game. But maybe the parents should be brought in and be given an education as to happen there.
Gerd's made that point earlier in the show and said, I think the best thing would be education, getting someone like a Preston Campbell and some Indigenous leaders in our game to sit down and try and get the message through, actually, the damage that they have caused, because it's absolutely no excuse. But if they have better education, potentially they can educate their friends as to, and you can stop it going forward. But again, you can't force these kids and their parents to come in and sit down. But I think education is certainly key. And Indigenous Round is has gone a long way in educating, I think, society.
And again, congratulations to Brent Naden, because that sort of stuff has to be called out, and he did it last night. Plenty ahead. Soon we're going to speak with Appy Korosau from the Panthers, who are performing quite brilliantly, and no small thanks to exactly what he's doing. This is the Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
45 minutes to kick off. And just a few minutes away, Appy Korosau will join us. Peter Sterling is here. Emma Lawrence. My name is Tony Squires. Remember, score more value this NRL season with a Ladbroke Same Game Multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett joins us. G'day, Tom.
Hello, Tony.
Look, the Titans obviously may not be in contention for finals, but at least they're the best team in Queensland. They rolled the Cowboys last week to get that job done. Punters give them any chance against the Sharkies?
Yeah, they've developed into a likeable team, the Titans. And punters are giving them a chance to start learning against the Sharks. Titans have been $4 into $3.40. Punters really warming to them late. Sharks still the clear favourites here, though, at $1.36.
The poor old Cowboys haven't won in over a month now, so surely the Bunnies are the favourites for that one.
They are, Emma. Punters don't think that losing streak will come to an end for the Cowboys. The Rabbitohs, very firm favourites at $1.40. Cowboys, pretty unpopular with punters. They're out to $3.15.
I'll continue the theme. The poor old Broncos, they haven't had a success of late. Where's the support coming against the Raiders? I'm assuming it's one way.
It is one way traffic here. So, like, Canberra Raiders are as short as $1.12. Brisbane Broncos out to $7.25, the longest price in their history. So, punters very, very keen on the Raiders.
Tom Hackett, thank you so much. Score more value this NRL season. A Ladbroke Same Game Multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. All right, as we've said earlier, much of the excitement of Ryan Girdler, Mark Geyer, and any Panthers fans, they're just looking the goods. Too good for the Warriors. And a good tight game of footy. Didn't look like they were way all the way along, but the Warriors hung in 18-12. They went down. Panthers winning. And as I said, in no small part, thanks to this man who's been absolutely sensational, described as the buy of the year. He's back at the Panthers. He is Appy Korosau, joins us now. G'day, mate. Congratulations on another terrific performance.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, lucky to get away with a 2 points yesterday, but we'll take them. We'll take them while we can.
You're clearly the best in the business at going under tackles. the try was sensational.
Short, Tony.
Yeah, the old ducking and weaving. You've got it down pat.
Yeah, thank you. I guess I've always been the smaller guy. So, you know, I'm never going to go over him. I might as well try and go under him. So it's working out pretty good for us.
Now, this is stating the obvious. Obviously, 9 wins in a row, it creates a happy environment. But you guys honestly look like, you know, the kids running around at footy just having the time of their lives. Can you describe just how a close-knit group you've been able to become, particularly given the circumstances with all of the COVID stuff going on?
Yeah, I think you described it pretty well. Like, everyone's just sort of happy to be playing football. I think the 6-again rule sort of brought that free-flowing footy back into it, and our team's just full of youngsters that really like throwing that ball around and get on the front foot. So, you know, I think winning definitely helps the environment around you. So that's obviously kept everyone happy and you know, everyone upstairs happy as well. So, it's hard to describe the feeling, really. Everyone's just really enjoying themselves, and you know, there's not too many negatives, that's for sure.
Appy, it's your second stint at the club. How different is the Appy Korosau running around now to your first time at the Panthers a number of seasons back?
Yeah, I don't think they'd recognise each other if they could see each other at those times. There's just so much that's happened to me since the last time I was here. You know, I have a family now, and you know, I'm married, and it's all just sort of come together really well for myself. And you know, obviously 4 years at Manly was obviously going to mature my football as well. So. There's a lot that's changed for me, and you know, to be honest, I'm just really grateful to have the opportunity to be back.
Did you ever think that you would find your way back to the club?
Not really. I guess I never really gave it any thought. I thought I was probably going to be at Manly for the rest of my career, to be honest. I was really enjoying it there. I loved the lads, and you know, I was loving the footy there as well. But I'm actually really happy that everything sort of worked out the way it did, and you know, now I'm really fortunate to be back at this club, and playing some good footy, and, you know, we're sitting where we are at the moment.
We all know about Nathan Cleary and his kicking game, but it's not just him. What about Josh Mansour? Was he bigging himself up in the rooms afterwards? A couple of brilliant kicks.
Mate, he didn't even celebrate with the boys after Dylan scored. He ran over to the crowd by himself, just putting his wing in the air, waving. So, no, he doesn't need any help with the confidence thing. He's actually done some pretty good kicks over the last, you know, this year. It's been pretty good to see.
Unfortunately, it was, 9 in a row, and we wanted to focus on that, but we did have the incident with Brent Naden as well. Firstly, how was Naden after the game, and how proud are you of him having the courage to speak out about that type of behaviour?
Yeah, look, after the game, I didn't really think too much of him. On the bus, you could tell, obviously, it affected him somewhat. But, like you said, I couldn't be more proud of what he did. You know, you can't be silent on these issues anymore. So, what he did is just started a whole, you know, conversation about it. And, you know, I've been really proud of everyone jumping on the back of that as well. And I can see so much support happening in the NRL. And honestly, it makes me proud to be part of this game.
Well, there's a lot to be proud of at Penrith at the moment. 9 straight wins, club record. Can you do me a favour and pay no attention to those people who say that you now need a loss, like the loss you need to have in the run in? Just turn a blind ear, if you don't mind.
No, mate, I could not agree with you more, honestly. I think the fact that we're getting away with a couple wins after not playing our best footy is one of those sort of things that can sort of play that same role. But, you know, at the end of the day, just like you said, we're going well, and, you know, we're focusing on what we need to do better each week, and, you know, that hasn't changed, and I doubt it's going to change now.
Look, I know you're going to say you're focusing on your game and put these things aside, but is it nice to hear someone like Blocker Roach talk about you as Origin hopeful and somebody who you could, you know, putting pressure on Damien Cook for that number 9 spot?
Yeah, definitely. It's always good to hear those kinds of things. But in the same way as, you know, when people say negative things, you've got to sort of put it in the same bracket. You've got to make sure that, you know, you just sort of focus on your game each week. And, you know, those things happen at the end of it, and as a result of playing good footy, then it does. But up until that point, you know, I'm just going to, like you said, just sort of try and focus on my footy and just keep doing what I do well.
The first 20 minutes, how long is it since anybody scored against
13 games, 13? Is it?
It's quite a remarkable stat. Are you guys kind of aware of that and put in even extra effort in those openings?
We probably weren't aware of it until maybe a couple of weeks ago. So it was just sort of happened that way. You know, we're starting really fast and, you know, defending really well at the start of games. But, when it did get brought up last week or the week before, you know, we were pretty happy about that stat, to be honest. You know, it showed a lot about us and how we started these games, and that's how we wanted to come out. So, now that it is a stat, you know, I think we're going to, you know, definitely try our hardest to keep it going, because at the end of the day, it's definitely a positive, you know, to be able to start a game the way we do and not let anyone in. So, we'll definitely be trying to keep that going.
Tony, you're not suggesting that they'll start to slacken off after 21 minutes or something like that at all, are you? Yeah,
exactly. I haven't got a good 21 minutes in me. So.
You never have.
Hey, Afi, we were having a chat earlier about the injuries and I guess the nature of the season, not having as long to prepare when you came back from COVID, the rule changes, that type of thing. Touch wood, the Panthers have been pretty lucky in that department. I guess, what are you guys doing throughout the week? Is there a management of loads, that type of thing, to help avoid situations where you've got these serious injuries?
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's no bye rounds anymore, so the boys aren't getting that week off or getting that rest. But, yeah, the performance staff at Penrith is doing really well at the moment. There's a lot of recovery in there. They're still getting the work done, but we're making sure we're doing the extras that we can to, make ourselves feel a lot better, you know, leading into the games. But I think it was a massive thing for the boys. You know, I don't think anyone pretty much stopped training. Everyone, you know, went hard throughout that COVID break and, you know, made sure they came back in as good a shape as they left. And I was pretty impressed to see. And I think that had a little bit to do with why we're doing a little bit better in the injury department, I think.
Yeah, well, it's impressive across the board. It's been a terrific season so far, and you've been playing brilliantly within it. So thanks so much for joining us. Great pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. There he is, absolute superstar for the Panthers. He's come back. He's just so influential there, isn't he, at the moment?
Absolutely. He's always been a good player, but now, you know, I think just listening to that, he's matured in all areas, you know, and that helps your footy. And, you know, I think to having different responsibilities, you kind of get the right perspective in regards to your game. So he's playing great. And you can tell that the Penrith side, they trained hard. In the preseason and then in the COVID break, you could tell they came back really hardened. And I think some sides, you could see when they did come back that they'd been left behind a little bit, but certainly not Penrith. Ivan Cleary, Trent Barrett and that, and the support staff up there, they had them ready to go.
All right, Ryan Girdler will rejoin us next as we look forward to the games ahead on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And he's back from his little lie down, Ryan Girdler. Welcome back.
Oh, it was quick. It was fleeting.
Yeah.
It's always nice to be back with good company, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
You would have thought if he was genuinely
a Panther
through and through, you would have taken just half of your break and come on for the chat with Appy Coruscant.
It was Appy on. I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I wasn't listening.
That was mid-power now.
I was Will Hoffing out there getting ready for the next
Wim
session.
Hoffing,
oh, what's his name?
Wim.
Wim Hoffing. Pete's into Wim Hoffing.
For those who don't know,
have you ever
this
done
is the
cold
method.
Showers?
No.
Gerds and I are into the cold showers.
Not
right.
Together.
No.
At this point.
Well, that'd be one way to keep warm.
Separately,
it's a very close show, this one.
What am I missing out on with the cold shower?
You just don't come in early, Pete.
It's a good question. Re-ask that question. I want to know.
Do you remember?
What
is he missing out on?
Vaguely.
Which nervous system does it activate?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
How many nervous systems have you got?
Parasympathetic.
Yeah, that's the one you got to control, Tony.
Well,
that's the one you have no control over.
What so it helps you to be able to...
Parasympathetic. Not after last night, I'm not. What improvement in your life does a cold shower add?
It enables you to cope better under stressful situations because you're...
alone too.
That's the back of the packet response.
I just think you should pay the bill and get them to put the hot water back on.
Cold in the morning and then hot before bed.
Mm.
So I still have a warm one before bed, so it...
You talking about a shower now?
Oh, Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Time you took control.
I know. Honestly.
Bring you back home.
I'm so glad you're back in the room, Ryan. You've really helped. Let's talk about the Sharks.
I think there's more to that conversation.
Oh, I know.
I do.
No, there is. Certainly, well, our lawyers will be talking more about it. The Sharkies. They're at the beginning of the year, and I'll put my hand up because I've made a lot of big calls here today, which we soon proved to be wrong. When we were all gathering for the launch of the season, we were all asked the question who would be getting the wooden spoon. I said the Sharks.
Mm.
I
thought,
yeah, I really did. Mm. Part of that was just vindictiveness because I don't like them because I'm a Dragons fan, you know what it's like.
I didn't notice that today.
No.
Sorry.
But there they are, and they've gone through a difficult period, but they are. It's kind of they've rebuilt on the run, and, you know, they're turning up and performing.
I think the problem I saw early on, they couldn't find the right configuration. Like they had all this talent, they just couldn't find the right spots for them. I'm still not quite sure if that's been completely resolved, but they're in the eight now. They're a great chance. If they can win today especially, they might put a little bit of a gap to some of the chasers there, but... You do realise being a part of the media, you are supposed to give your honest opinion, not just because you hate a team, because you can't tip them to run last just on hate.
Are you talking to me now?
I'm talking to you, Tony. That's
I understand that's slightly unprofessional of me, but see, I'm not here. I'm just here to drive the bus. You're the people.
Well, you're not even doing a good job at that today, let me tell you that.
No, the bus has been all over the shop, if I'm to be honest with you.
It's been like Tonya.
It has been. What about the Sharkies, though, for you? Have you liked what you've seen of late?
Yeah, well, I didn't have high expectations for them this year either, Tone. I didn't have them making my eight. And post-COVID or that period that we had the break, they've come back and they, they did have a favourable draw. You've still got to win those games. But if you look at the road ahead for the Sharkies, they're in eighth at the moment, and they've got plenty of opportunities there to work their way into that probably bottom four of the eight. I just think I think it was the Manly game, and I said it, I think we called their game last week. They just seem to find their identity, and they've obviously lost some pretty important cattle over the last couple of years. They've had some changes around coaching and things like that, and I think Johnny Morris obviously had to settle in, find what style he liked. As Sterlo said, they need to find some right combinations in key positions, and I think they just needed to get that Sharky identity back, where, you know, when they were really successful in 15 and 16 in those years, you know, they just scrapped for a bone. They just liked to get other teams into the gutter, and they just made it really uncomfortable they were a really uncomfortable team to play against, and no one wanted to play the Sharks, and I think they're starting to get that reputation back. And then the thing that I've been most pleased about this year is I've always loved watching Sean Johnson play. Sometimes, yep, like other people in the media, I've been critical of his performances. But for this year, I think he's been flawless. I think what he's provided on a weekly basis for the Sharks, he's been one of the form halves in the competition. I think he's really come out of it, and it's shown me that he wants to prove something, not to anyone else, but to himself, that he can be a player in the NRL at another club that can make a real difference. And he's doing that at the moment.
I think everyone too forgets the fact that they're playing more than $300,000 under the salary cap because of those dramas they had. And then, yeah, Josh Morris leave a couple of rounds into the season, the Bronson Sherry drama as well. So all of that, I mean, it's been a pretty tumultuous time in charge for Johnny Morris. They're probably only just starting to get that stability. Yep. And that's probably, I guess, coinciding with the wins coming again.
I agree with Gerds. And don't we have a wonderful game where one of our teams, to be successful, they have to scrap for a bone in the gutter? That's
beautiful.
That's rugby league.
That is rugby league right there.
That's what we like to see.
You talk about Sean Johnson. He's now in the six next to him today is Matty Moylan, who is a guy we haven't seen because of injuries have really knocked him around this year. But it's great to see him up and about. And that kid at number nine, Blake Brayley, he is he's a clever number nine.
He's a super player. Yeah, no, he's. It would have been a tough decision, obviously, for the Sharks having both brothers on their books. You know, and that was never going to end well in regards to it'd be terrible to be fighting.
Yeah, Christmas.
Exactly. You'd be setting booby traps for your brother. Put him on the sideline for a couple of weeks. But they went for the younger version, and rightly so. And I think he's been one of the real success stories for them, especially in a return to form over the last number of weeks. But again, you know, Moylan's back. He has injury concerns. Chad Townsend playing 115 games straight. He's missing. He'll come back in at somewhere. So, again, there's still the question, you know, is Will Kennedy going to be the unfortunate one? Does Dugan play at fullback or in the centre?
Yeah.
It's still not resolved, but I didn't have them in my top eight, but I think probably in regards to the chases, they are probably better served to be in the eight than some others.
All right, we'll come back, have a little look at the team they'll be running into this afternoon in the Gold Coast, who have surprised many. We'll get there next on the Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Gerds, Emma Sterle, Sterlo and Tony Squires with you on the Saturday afternoon, heading towards kickoff to Cronulla and the Gold Coast. We'll come back, have a look in more detail at the Titans. At the moment, that Tyre Power scoreboard just still nil all, as you'd expect. A Tyre Power get up to $150 cash.
Great insight.
Yeah.
Really, surprise.
It's my way of getting the Tyre Power scoreboard in. See, I've done that. That was, that's out and out clever. Out and out clever.
Even if you say so yourself, yeah.
Em, can you run me a cold shower, please? Tyre Power get up to $150 cash back on selected.
Still nil all.
Good.
Go figure.
Have another look. Nil all. Neil, back soon. Nothing like a bit of Paul Kelly before.
When you guys right over there?
The score. Yeah, there you go. Thank you so
see
much.
That red light, that's mic on, isn't it?
That is. That says microphone is on, so you can talk to the people, the listeners. All right, the Gold Coast and the Cronulla. We've had a look at the Sharkies in some detail. The Titans, as we said last week, they beat the Cowboys. And, you know, you might take it lightly, but in terms of that Queensland competition, there they are. They're on top. It's an important moment for them, and they are a team that is playing better and better football.
If they win this afternoon, I don't think it would be an upset, particularly on what I've seen of late. What does concern me is that, obviously, working with Anthony Maroon this afternoon.
Yes, trouble.
colourful Gold Coast identity is not getting a run.
Anthony Don's out.
Filthy Phil Sammy is out as well, and he's shat because the lab experiment has retired. So I'm not quite sure what to expect.
What he's going to talk about.
He's got nothing.
This afternoon. But and look, they are serious losses, the two wingers, because they are try scorers. But they were great last week, and I think they've been pretty good last couple of weeks, really. And Justin Holbrook is, you can see that he's got a game plan that he goes out there, and the boys know it. And if they play like they did last week, every chance of causing an upset against this Sharks team.
I guess when you take over a team like that, there has been some troubles. What he's done seemingly first is defence has been a crucial element, and they're performing much better as a defensive unit.
Those first four rounds, I really felt from that, like the 2 weeks before we went into lockdown, where we got a couple of games under our belts, the way that the Gold Coast perform, I know Justin quite well. I spent a couple of years with him at the foot of the mountains, and he was a broken man. I don't think he knew the size of the job that he took on. He was sitting in the stand there, and I'm not sure what the actual scoreline were in their first couple of games, but they were trounced. And you could just see, it looked like to me that he thought, you know, I've bitten off more than I can chew. So full credit to him, because he's been able to turn that around. It just looks like they're really enjoying what they do. And a footy side that goes out and enjoys, you know, their training and playing on a weekly basis, end up getting results somehow or way. And it gets the best out of the individual. Now, I've never seen guys like Brian Kelly play like this. I've heard a lot about Ash Taylor coming through the ranks at the Broncos, but never have I really seen any sort of sustained form from him at first grade level like I've seen in the last 3 or 4 weeks for the Titans. So getting the best out of the individuals, got a happy camp, good attitude around defence. He's starting to get results.
And Ash Taylor has struggled in the past and has come out publicly and spoken about, has struggled with mental health and not enjoying his footy. He'd just be turning up because he had to, but he didn't want to be coming and playing footy. But it seems like, again, he's just like that little kid when you're in under 10s going out there and you're just purely having fun. And it looks like, obviously, the only way is up for them, particularly the fact they've got David Fifita, they've got Big Tino going there next year as well. So if he's already established that kind of culture where players want to play for each other, want to play for him, and they're attracting more big names, it looks like the next few years it could be happy days for everyone up on the Gold Coast.
I don't know why or how, but even the change to put a different number on his back to push him out, one outside Jamal Fogarty, that's kind of seemed to have taken pressure off him. Now, Fogarty's been excellent. And Ash still carries the profile he ever did, but all of a sudden he's not to blame for everything and at fault for everything. And, you know, he's just been able to slot into that role, whether it's an ongoing one in future seasons, but it's worked for him this year and it's worked for the team. And they've got some underrated players in there, like, you know, guys like Joliffe and Hipgrave and these guys, you know, they work hard and they hit hard and they're big bodies. I look, Kevin Proctor had his best game for a long time last week. So they look like they could have a really strong finish to the season.
And does, as Em said, does the guys who are coming there next year, does that bolster you for the back end of this season, knowing what it's going to be like?
Doesn't hurt, Tony. It doesn't. And, you know, for the forwards that know that there's going to be more competition, you know, you want to leave a nice lasting impression to the end of the season with, you know, a couple of stars coming on board.
Well, they weren't in a good place in the middle of the season when Jai Arrow announced that he was going to leave. Mm. He was the heart and soul of that group. Now, no one's, as good as Jai is, no one's talking about Jai leaving anymore. It's all about who's coming. And that's only got a positive for the club and especially the fans. And that's what they need. They need the locals to get around. They need to build an identity that the Gold Coast people can relate to. I think that's what's sometimes lacking up there. You know, what is it? What do they represent? Who are they going out there on a weekly basis and connecting with in the community? And I think once they can do that,
Something about that is also about the community, which is, it's not transient, but if people are coming from different places to the Gold Coast, so it's kind of a hard demographic.
They've already
to work
got fans. They're Dragons fans. Yeah. There's Eels fans. There's lots of, they need to somehow embrace those people within their club and get them to be Titans fans, or at least their next generation to be Titans fans.
Yeah. Peter Bedell, I read here, is reporting that Tevita Pangai Jr. will enlist lawyers to take on the Broncos and the NRL. And I don't know what the latest with the Broncos punishment of Tevita Pangai Jr. is, but that's just word coming out of Brisbane as we speak. All right, who wins this afternoon in this game, Pete?
I tip the Sharks, but I'll be cheering for the Gold Coast Titans. I'm looking forward. I think it'll be an entertaining clash. I'll go Sharks.
Just because you don't like the Sharks, you shouldn't say that kind of stuff, remember, as a professional. You should just judge it on its merits.
I'm tipping the Sharks, don't you?
Okay, there you go. Em?
I'm tipping the Sharks as well. Good to see Matt Moylan back. I hope you know, they can start to get it together. And Woodsy, I've been enjoying Woodsy. I think he's playing the best footy he's played in a while as well. So I'm tipping the Sharks.
I'm going to go the Titans, Tone. I love momentum. I know the Sharks are playing well, but they lost last week. They got a few injury concerns. Titans are up and about. I'm going to jump on the wagon.
All right. Based on your performance today, I shan't be coming in after Dragons' victory from here on in.
Again. Yeah. No, it's only been loose, my performance tonight, because it started with Emma Lawrence. You know,
Tony, have a cold shower, will you?
Yeah, I will. North Queensland, South Sydney, very quickly. Who wins? Just a tip.
South
Sydney?
Yep.
Okay. And that other game, which at some point in the beginning of the year you would have thought Canberra v Brisbane would be an absolute corker, as it turns out. Canberra should do the job fairly solidly, I'd imagine.
You would think so.
Yep, Canberra.
Yep.
I think this is going to be the best game of the Super Saturday. Really? I know Saturday we get the three games, but and probably looked at this game a month ago and thought, oh, here we go again. Saturday, you know, not the best contest, but this shapes to be the best one of the
day.
Can so don't
you
miss
believe
it.
It's nil all?
No, it's still nil all. And
look at
started.
That tie power score. It's been nil all for hours. I don't know what is going on. Very soon, though, that all may well change. Thanks so much for your performances this afternoon. Thank you to the people of King G and Tire Power. Cold shower time.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.